This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Today I'd like to talk to you about an article which I came across with, which was published in a Jewish paper, talking about the dilemma of interfaith marriages. And I'd like to take the opportunity to first of all read a few excerpts to you from the article and then go back and start analyzing them a little bit. This article was published by GTA on December 19, 2013. And it says, among other things, during our four-year courtship, prior to becoming engaged, my then boyfriend and I came to an agreement about the religious upbringing of our future children. After taking two classes on Jewish culture and an interfaith couples workshop, we agreed that our children would be raised according to Jewish tradition, but could celebrate Christian holidays in a secular way with their non-Jewish grandparents. But after my husband and I separated and eventually divorced, some of the prenuptial agreements we made surrounding our interfaith family were no longer heeded. And then she talks about the fact that the previous husband, the father, has a Christmas tree in his home, and of course that they are celebrating Easter. The article goes on to say, our son attends a Jewish preschool and has all kinds of children in his class, some with two Jewish parents, some from interfaith homes, and others who are not Jewish at all. He already knows that families have their own ways of observing the holidays, and that you can be Jewish and still celebrate non-Jewish holidays with some of your family and friends. Last December, he rambled on and on about what Santa was going to bring him for Christmas. I was tempted to remind him that he is Jewish and explain that Jews do not believe in Santa. But I went along with it because I didn't want to burst his Christmas bubble. And then the person states, for the time being, I figure I will leave it alone, and age will take care of it. I believe we will provide our son with a strong enough Jewish identity that these Christmas and Easter icons will not threaten his understanding of who he is. But ask me again later this month, I may change my mind. And so she herself is in doubt as to how to act and react in a situation like that. Now, let me just say, my friends, that this article is a classic example of how not to act. And it is also a classic example of foolish arrangements before marriage, compromising with the truth. And the consequences for the child might very well become catastrophic. I'd like to repeat for you now some of the statements I just read to you from the article and explain to you why we are dealing with terrible, damaging concepts. Okay, here is what was said. During our four-year courtship prior to becoming engaged, my then boyfriend and I came to an agreement about the religious upbringing of our future children. After taking two classes on Jewish culture and an interfaith couples workshop, we agreed that our children would be raised according to Jewish tradition, but could celebrate Christian holidays in a secular way with their non-Jewish grandparents. Now let me just say that such an arrangement should have never been made. In fact, such a marriage should have never taken place. We are publishing weekly updates. In our weekly updates, we are also including regular Bible studies. And in one of the Bible studies, we addressed 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39, which says this, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. And then we explain the following. Most everyone agrees that Paul's statement refers to a marriage between two Christians. Paul is clearly stating here that a Christian is to marry only another Christian. The Ryrie Study Bible comments only in the Lord, i.e. only to another Christian. The Living Bible interprets a passage in this way. The wife is part of her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, then she may marry again, but only if she marries a Christian. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, commentary on the whole Bible, state, only in the Lord. Let her marry only a Christian. The New Bible Commentary Revised points out only in the Lord, i.e. another Christian, for she is a member of Christ's body. We go on to explain that Paul says in verse 39, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. This is not just a principle that can be disregarded or neglected by the church at whim. This is a clear and unequivocal command. To say that Paul was just uttering his personal opinion, which can be disregarded or neglected by the church at whim, is ludicrous. With that rationale, we might as well tear out of the Bible whole passages of commandments set forth in Scripture as they were communicated to us by God's apostles rather than by Christ himself, if we believe that Christ inspired the authors of the Bible to write down his word, then any argument that those words cannot just or contain just personal opinions by those men is blatantly unbiblical. That's why I'm saying we shouldn't have mixed marriages in the sense that a Christian marries a non-Christian. But I will make a few comments pretty soon about what a true Christian is. First, going back to the article, the person wrote that the boy already knows that families have their own ways of observing the holidays and that you can be Jewish and still celebrate non-Jewish holidays with some of your families and friends. Now, let me just say that Christmas is not a Christian holiday, that Easter is not a Christian holiday. We have prepared a booklet, Don't Keep Christmas, and I encourage you to apply and ask for a copy of it, because in this booklet we tell you that Christmas is not Christian at all. It is of pagan origin. And all the customs which we are doing today during the Christmas season are of pagan origin, of pagan nature, and they are not in accordance with the Bible. And so, insofar as this comment is concerned, the child should never be allowed to celebrate pagan, quote-unquote, Christian days with his friends or family, if the parent is in control and can prevent this. Now, we understand if the child is with the non-believing parent, then, of course, during that time, there's not much the believing parent can do. The article goes on to say, last December, he rambled on and on about what Santa was going to bring him for Christians or for Christmas. I was tempted to remind him that he is Jewish and explain that Jews don't believe in Santa, but I went along with it because I didn't want to burst his Christmas bubble. Now, my comment is that a golden opportunity was missed here. Not wanting to burst the Christmas bubble is tantamount to going along with wrong customs and ungodly practices. As a parent who knows better, as a parent who knows that Christmas is not a festival which a Christian or a Jew should keep, then to allow the child to do it anyhow, as long as a parent has control over the child, is just wrong. It's setting the wrong signals. It's compromising with the truth, and God does not want us to compromise. The article, remember, went on to say, I know a Christmas elf cannot come and stomp out thousands of years of Jewish tradition. Well, don't be too sure. It doesn't take much encouragement to lead a child on the wrong path. The article continued, age will take care of it. Well, the time will come when the child may ask the parent, why did you lie to me, Mom? Why did you lie to me, Dad? You told me about an Easter bunny. You told me about Santa Claus. You told me about the Christ child came on Christmas Eve and bring me presents while I was outside the house. Why did you lie to me? Why did you tell me those lies? How come you didn't tell me the truth even though you knew better? The article went on to say, I believe we will provide our son with a strong enough Jewish identity that these Christmas and Easter icons will not threaten his understanding of who he is. Well, now, if a strong enough Jewish identity or a true Christian identity is provided, then perhaps this might be true to an extent, but the article here shows me that no strong Jewish identity or true Christian identity, if you please, was given to the child. Too much compromise was being done. Compromise seemed to have been the norm rather than the exception. As long as a child is under the care of a Jewish or truly Christian parent, it is extremely important that the child be taught the right principles. that no compromises be made with pagan holidays and pagan customs. And even the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah has become pagan to an extent that many, many pagan customs have been included now. And it doesn't look that much different from the pagan festival of Christmas. In an existing or broken up mixed marriage, the Jewish or truly Christian parent may have no control over the teaching and the conduct of the non-Jewish or non-truly Christian parent, who will many times try to counteract the efforts of the other side. But as long as a Jewish or truly Christian parent can guide and lead the child, he or she must do so without any compromise. Sadly, the above article, which I have just read, doesn't show such important commitments. I'm reading this, by the way, from our most recent update, which is going to be published this week, as I give this message today. We dated December 23, 2013, and we are going in this update into much more detail. Now, we have also prepared another booklet, The Keys to Happy Marriages and Families, and I'd like to ask you to request a free copy of that booklet as well. Because this booklet shows you several things. It shows you that a marriage, if it is already done, even if it is done between a believer and an unbeliever, let's say, shouldn't be broken up, shouldn't be separated, if the unbeliever is willing to stay with the believer. But still, compromises cannot be made. Compromises in child rearing cannot be made. A child must be taught the truth. And that is why the Bible makes it very clear that two people shouldn't marry unless they are agreed upon the true values of what the Bible says, what God requires. Otherwise, the marriage will end up in a disaster, and it is bad for the children. This booklet also talks about the keys to happy families. It tells you how children should be raised, how parents should relate to their children. Far too much wrong education is out there where people are totally ignorant as to how to train their child. The Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, are telling you how to raise your child in a happy family setting. So you need to know that information if you want to have happy families, if you want to have happy marriages. And don't fool around with God's word. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just say, oh, I don't care what Christ is saying, what God is saying, what the Old Testament is saying, what the New Testament is saying. I will do it my way. Yes, you may do it your way, but the end of it will be disaster. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.